You're listening to Memories of 3DO, a retrospective look at a video games console classic. To make sure you get the latest episode, hop on over to 3dopodcast.com/listen and choose your preferred app to follow on. And now, this week's episode. Throughout 1992 and early 1993, the plans behind the 3DO continued to take shape. Founder Trip Hawkins was using his undisputed influence and reputation in the gaming industry to get partners excited about the console. This included both hardware and game developers. Since the hardware would be licensed, it meant any electronics manufacturer that were interested in being part of this new era of gaming could produce and sell their own version, and pay a royalty to the 3DO company for this. This led to respected names like Panasonic, Goldstar, who would become LG, Samsung, Toshiba, and Sanyo signing up to the project, although ultimately only Panasonic, Goldstar, and Sanyo would manufacture units. Meanwhile, game developers were also excited about the partnership opportunities. The CD format meant more memory to explore new ideas on, while the 32-bit engine meant a huge upgrade in graphics and sound. Developers like Electronic Arts, fighting game legends SNK, id, makers of Wolfenstein and Doom, and Capcom all signed up, with promises to bring true next-level versions of their popular games to the system. Electronic Arts in particular put their full weight behind the project, in no small way thanks to their relationship with founder Trip Hawkins. Indeed, they even marketed the partnership with the slogan, EA is 3DO, 3DO is EA. It might be the other way around, actually. With an eager gaming press shouting this upcoming console with praise, gamers began to count down the days when the system would launch. But problems were starting to rise behind the scenes. Because of the way the hardware was designed, it was a completely new way for game developers to work. While the 3DO was undoubtedly more powerful than current 16-bit generation, getting to grips with the processors was proven a challenge. This led to highly anticipated launch games like Road Rash, FIFA Soccer, and Jurassic Park Interactive being pushed back, which meant the upcoming release was going to be light in the games department. Additionally, and more problematically as it would turn out, even though the hardware was licensed to be built and sold by different manufacturers, this meant they had to make a profit on the hardware. This led to a price point of $700 in the US for the first version of the console from Panasonic, which was a huge jump in price for video gamers used to systems at a couple hundred dollars. Despite this, the 3DO company remained bullish, and there were promises of incredible things to come in the first 12 months after the console's launch. This included hardware additions like memory upgrades, a modem, and use as a set-top box for cable TV, and over 100 new games in year one alone. On top of that, gamers were still genuinely excited about the machine despite the price, after seeing previews of photorealistic games that looked like you were playing a movie. Gaming magazines also continued to build up the machine, and cited the plug-and-play options of the proposed add-ons as a key reason for choosing 3DO on top of the games. The only thing that remained was launching the machine, and breaking the dominance of Sega and Nintendo into the bargain. In the next episode, a stuttering start in the US, a surprise Japanese debut, and recognition by Time magazine.